Sounds kind of like Tallahassee Carbine music, doesn't it?
Coming That's what I was thinking. You picked that out special.
The Legend of the Tallahassee Carbine, a Civil War mystery, a novel by Larry Williamson, is now available. And Larry joins us in the studio here on the Wake Up Call. Good morning to you, Larry. How are you?
Good morning, Michael. I heard you talking about me a while ago.
Yes. Well, this is not your first go-around. You've written the book Tallapoosa. How many is this your second, or has there been
a
third book?
Yeah. Tallapoosa and Over the River Long Ago, which is about growing up in Tallahassee.
Right.
But this is my second historical novel.
How long does it take to write when you put this all down and finished it up? How much time did you have in it?
People always ask me that, and I really don't know. I guess maybe a year or two or something.
And it would not be something you just sit down and write every day. It'd be something just you put pieces of it together as you go, I guess, don't
right,
you?
And you have to stop and do some research and dig out something else, you know, and then after you finish, the editing process is a long trip, so it takes a while.
Now, we've heard about the Tallahassee Carbine. There's one in the Smithsonian I've seen. It's very interesting story that these were manufactured in Tallahassee during the Civil War period. Talk about that.
Yes. Well, anybody that's lived in Tallahassee for any length of time has heard something about the armory and about the carbines, you know. And in 1864, the last year of the war, the Confederacy decided they needed a different manufacturing facility for their new carbine. So they were talked into moving it down to Tallahassee, and which they did, and eventually got the manufacturing process going in the wake of a lot of trouble and difficulty. And at the end of the war, in early April of 1865, the last week of the war, in fact, they had turned out something like 500 carbines, or at least they had that many on hand. And supposedly that was what they manufactured then, because I don't think any of them had made it into the field yet. But they were ordered to move all 500 or so to Macon. For some reason, I think they panicked because General Wilson was coming through Selma and Montgomery at the time, and they thought the armory was in danger. And so they left Tallahassee in a driving rainstorm, and that's the last anybody ever heard of them. So that's the mystery.
About how many do you think were manufactured? Do we know? Exactly?
Well, 500 or so, approximately 500. Yeah. That's what they say. There are 500 that left Tallahassee. And, of course, there are a few of them that apparently leaked out before then. There's only 10 known to exist today. Yeah. The one pictured on the cover is in the Columbus Museum, Columbus, Georgia.
Yeah.
There's one in the Illinois State Museum. There's one at Chickamauga. And then there's one at the Confederate Museum up around Verbena and Marbury. And then you mentioned Smithsonian. I wasn't aware there was one in the Smithsonian.
Yeah, when I went to Washington when I was in college, it said Tallahassee Carbine from Smithsonian.
It's for some reason nobody ever mentions that one. Yeah.
Yeah. Apparently I assume it's one of the ones manufactured here. Yeah, it's got Tallahassee on it.
Let's hope so. There are some replicas around that. People claim authenticity that isn't.
Yeah.
And then there's one in a private collection in Arkansas, and I don't know where the others are, but supposedly there's 10 that exist now.
Hmm. Yeah, it is interesting that it was right here where got that little part of history. Actually, I was watching the Killing Lincoln that was on the other night on the National Geographic channel. John Wilkes Booth having to surrender. They were trying to get him to surrender his carbine. Who knows? He might have had one of these when they gunned him down after, of course, his assassination of the president. I know that I've read your Tallapoosa book and pretty easy reading. People should check out. One thing I did notice as I was looking through the book, you were able to obtain a lot of great photographs And they look, they really look sharp, and they're, you know, good, go along with this book real well. Where did you get some of these from? Maybe Bill, did Bill Goss provide some of these from his History of Tallahassee illustrations?
Yes, the publisher came down and visited one day, and he had never even heard of Tallahassee before this came up, you know, and couldn't pronounce it then. But he came down, and he's been back twice since then. And he seems to have fallen in love with Tallahassee, and become quite fascinated with us. And anyway, we thought we'd put a few pictures in there. And so he got carried away and just put an awful lot of them in there and did a great job. And he took some of them that I took, and a lot of them were dug up from Bill's historical archives. And from Susanna Solomon. And so...
There's some 3D renderings in here, too. And by the way, you you actually did some hand-sketched art in here yourself, didn't you? You drew some maps.
Two of the maps I did, yes.
Yeah, it is very interesting looking back at the 1860s era Tallahassee and making these carbines. Kind of talk about the book a little bit. Is it a little bit of fiction in there? Kind of you kind of telling your own story, kind of making up the... Because I know there's something in there about... I think there's a future reference in here as well, isn't there? That hasn't happened yet.
Oh, yes, of course. And that's what you do with historical fiction. You take all the research, the historical facts are supposedly facts. Of course, historians... contradict each other all over the place, so you have to take the research and interpret it best you can, and then construct a fictional story around that. So that's what I did. That's what I did with Tallapoosa, and that's what I did here. And so it goes from moving the manufacturing facilities from Richmond down to Tallahassee, and getting started and building the what's called Happy Hollow, which was a housing for the workers, which was down the hill, down the down the slope there from the mill, where we're talking about the amphitheater supposedly going to be someday. You know, Let's hope. Was Happy Hollow.
Yes.
And they built the Confederate officers' quarters there on King Street. Two of the houses still exist, and of course... Judge Sigrist is in the corner house there. Right. That was one of them. And so takes it through the building, or getting started, and all the hardships they went through. And in July of 1864, General Russo came down through the heart of Alabama with the idea of destroying the warehouses and railroad at Lochipoca. Between Opelika and Notasauga, just ripped up the railroad there and destroyed all the warehouses at Lochipoca. And one of his side trips was supposed to be come on down the railroad and destroy the mills and armory at Tallahassee. And he got cut off there at Cheehaw Station. And so that was the Battle of Cheehaw Station that the... reenactment does every year, and so that's covered in the book, and also the Wilson's raid, which captured Selma, came on down through Birmingham, or what was going to be Birmingham, and Tuscaloosa, and Selma, and Montgomery, and that was General Wilson. And the little skirmish that they had there coming by Franklin, that's covered. And so all that's in there. And, of course, I weaved a little teenage romance in throughout the book. This concerned a fictional 18-year-old Confederate soldier and the actual daughter of Benjamin McCoo, who was 14 at the time.
Yeah.
And I have her chasing that Confederate soldier all over the place.
How about that?
Throughout the book. And so that came out pretty good, I think. And then, as you mentioned, My version is not really something I advocate. I don't know what happened to the carbines, and nobody else does. But I constructed a tale as to what might could have happened to them. And that's what happens in the last several chapters of the book, is a version of a possible solution as to what happened to the 500 carbines.
Is that in chapter 36, where it's the summer of 2017? Did we find that out, or is this something
well,
else?
Well, the 2016, I put that several years in advance because I didn't want anybody to think that it already happened.
Yeah.
That's where we find the carbines.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's why the 2016 date is something to look forward to, you know.
I think they're probably in Carl Wayne's house.
Yeah.
Could be. Could be.
I don't know if you may not want to spoil it, but what do you have a theory of what possibly happened to these
I don't know. Bill Goss has a theory, but like all the theories, and there are many of them, you can shoot them full of holes. I mean, every theory I've heard has some credence, and then you can find something wrong with all of them. So nobody knows, and I don't know. And the version that I put forth in there, I don't really champion that, but it's just a possibility, you know, as much as any of the others are possibilities.
So there's only 10 of these things known.
Only 10 of them known right now. Very rare and very valuable.
Well, that was my next question. If you were to come up with one and it was authenticated, I wonder how much would one of those things be worth?
The minimum price I've heard for such an item, $50,000. And probably up toward $100,000 just for one.
So if I take that to Vegas to Pawn Stars, they give me $15,000 for it.
Maybe.
Probably.
He's like, hey, let me get my buddy down here to authenticate
this. It's kind of beat up right here. Kind of, you know, got a lot of nicks and scrapes. I know it's 160 years old, but no. Anyway, pretty good detail on the picture here. Just the one I'm looking at, did you go to the Columbus Museum to take these, or did you get these from the Columbus
no,
Museum?
No, the publisher, who is a startup publisher up near Huntsville, in the suburbs of Huntsville, and I'm his second client. This is the third book he's published, including his own, but I'm his second client. And he just got carried away with it, like I said. And so he contacted the Columbus Museum for pictures of their version, and they sent it to him. So this is how he got this.
It's got the engraving Tallahassee, Alabama on there, Tallahassee, ALA.
Yes, you can clearly see that. And so that's the Columbus Museum's version.
Yeah, very interesting. And as you say, basically all of these that they know of are in museums across this country.
Yes, our private collection.
This one's also stamped to 1864.
Bill Goss says that all of them, even the ones that were manufactured on into 1865, still carried the 1864 date for some reason.
Yes, CS, Tallahassee, Alabama, for Confederate States. Interesting, very interesting. Well, I'm sure it's going to be interesting reading, too, for anyone who's interested in picking it up. Where do they go?
Tallahassee Tribune has them. They're on Amazon, and when we get the museum going there at the corner of Barnett and Sistrunk, they'll be on sale there. And of course, I'm always available to sell all the people want. So get in touch with me.
Yeah, you can go on Amazon and get a little picture of the. There's like a little preview on there. Got the cover and some of the information there. So.
Right. They did a good job on promoting it on Amazon.
I can't wait to get a read on this. Larry, thanks so much for coming in, and appreciate you giving us a little bit more of Tallahassee history. We always appreciate that,
well,
too.
Well, I hope you read it, and I hope you enjoy it, and I hope everybody around Tallahassee gets hold of it and gets a little bit of Tallahassee history.
We'll do it.
All right.
Larry,
thank you, Michael.
Thank you. It's always good talking to you. Appreciate
all right,
you being
appreciate
with us.
Appreciate it.
Larry Williamson, folks. The book is A Legend, The Legend of the Tallahassee Carbine, A Civil War Mystery. And again, Amazon and several other locations, you can look and find this throughout our Talisay area.